back. Dr. Day, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you here, and it's difficult to know where to take it, but what I'd like to really do today, we've got just under an hour, but really go through essentially if COVID, well, firstly, I had a question that you answered in an email, but I think it's worth sharing with the audience. You made a very interesting comment on a recent show you did, and it's something that no one else I've heard in the alternative media has made. You said that the swine flu, the SARS, and all these other so-called pandemics were merely dry runs for ensuring they had all the people they needed in the positions they needed them in order to push this so-called pandemic. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's true. They've had a plan for really well over 200 years, and it's actually longer than that. This is really the great controversy between good and evil, the great controversy between Christ and Satan that started in the Garden of Eden and is now culminating now at the end of this 6,000 years since creation. And so what the real bottom line is that Jesus is coming soon, and Satan wants this planet for himself, and he wants no one on this planet to be worshiping God. He wants to eliminate that. And when Jesus comes, he wants to say, this planet is mine. I am the God of this planet. So go away, because no one here worships you. That is the real bottom line. But all the rest is details. They have been planning this for the last couple of hundred years, and they wanted to make sure they had all the right people in all the right places before they actually lowered the boom, which they have done now. We have a one world government. They could not have shut the world down in 1 week if we didn't already have a one world government. But the one world government is behind the scenes now, and they're just using others as puppets to promote their plan for tyranny, complete tyranny. This is a plan to exterminate 6 billion people. The whole COVID thing is a complete hoax, as was the swine flu, as was H1N1, as was the bird flu. They are all hoaxes, but people get afraid very rapidly, and they have a tendency around the world to trust the authorities. The COVID-19 virus has never been isolated. The CDC admits that. They have never isolated the virus. However, as I show in my new book, the Rothschilds and others, CDC and a doctor named Barrick, actually patented this virus a number of years ago, starting in 2003. They patented not only the virus, which doesn't exist, they patented all attempts to test for the virus. So that way they eliminate anybody proving that the virus doesn't exist, because they have patented all ways to test for it. Now, the whole thing is lie upon lie upon lie. Everybody gets caught up in, oh, well, what about the vaccine from Pfizer? What about the vaccine from AstraZeneca? All of these things are just distractions. The first lie is COVID-19 does not exist. And then people say, oh, well, what are all these people dying from? People are dying from all the things they've died from all along throughout centuries. They're just putting COVID-19 on it. And even the CDC has recently admitted that only 6% of the people they say had COVID actually had COVID, or they died from COVID. Well, first of all, the answer is zero. Just like the CDC says, well, we're not keeping track of the flu anymore. The CDC has never kept track of the flu. Never in the history of the world, the CDC has never kept track of the flu. And doctors don't report the flu. Doctors report almost nothing. They can't be bothered. All my 25 years in active practice of medicine, I never reported a case of the flu or anything else to the CDC, and I didn't know one doctor who did, and I knew thousands of doctors. Nobody did. So that's all a lie, too. That came about when they started with a flu vaccine, and then they wanted you to get it. So then they say, oh, 36,000 people in America have died of the flu and pneumonia. I said, what? 36,000 people have died of the flu and pneumonia. I thought, why are they adding pneumonia? So then I started looking up, and I found out they don't keep track of the flu. They had to keep track of, they had to make up phony statistics. They don't even keep track of pneumonia. But almost everybody who dies, whether it's of heart disease or cancer or anything else, will get pneumonia as a final event because they're bedridden and their lungs fill up with fluid. So that's on many death certificates, but that's not the real cause of death. So in order for them to scare people into getting the flu vaccine, they added pneumonia to it so they could have a big enough number. Because flu doesn't kill anybody. Nobody dies of the flu. And I'm going to repeat that. Nobody dies of the flu. The flu is a self-limiting disease. So is a cold. You get it for a few days and you're sick, and it actually cleans out your body. That's what it's doing. And then you get well and you move on. That, in fact, virtually all diseases are self-limiting diseases, including cancer. Once you learn how to stop abusing your body, you deprive the cancer of what it needs to grow, and it will go away. It will reverse itself, just like it happened in me. So the whole point is these diseases are self-limiting. God created the body. He designed it to heal itself once we learn how to stop abusing it. So number one, the virus doesn't exist. And of course, why did they pick the coronavirus? They picked the coronavirus because, first of all, corona has six letters in it. And then a C is the third letter in the alphabet, and an O is 15. And if you just number those, it comes down to 66. So it adds up to 666. And then corona, of course, is the derivation of the Crown Corporation, which is the Rothschilds Corporation, the Crown Corporation. It doesn't represent the Queen of England. It represents the Rothschilds. So it's a Crown Corporation. So they picked that name. And that's what they always do. They shove it in our face and they say, you're so stupid, you don't even get it. So if they used a real disease, then they would be bound by those who have the obvious symptoms of that real disease. But when they have a fake disease that doesn't exist, that has no specific symptoms that you can differentiate from the common cold or the flu or anything, then they can make up all the numbers they want because you can't call them on it. You can't say, look, that person doesn't have this disease because they picked a fake disease that has no symptoms. All right. So there's no COVID-19. There is none. And nobody's dying from it. But the hospitals in America get $9,000 more if they put that on the death certificate. And if they put a person on a respirator, they get $33,000 more. So they have bribed all of the doctors and they're blackmailing them. So the second thing is that they're supposedly testing for COVID-19 with the PCR. Well, the PCR doesn't test for anything. I just had to get a little bit of water here. PCR does not test for anything. The PCR, which is called the polymerase chain reaction, is a chemical copy machine. In other words, what it does is it just multiplies whatever is there. So the multiple of that particular molecule can be tested by some other test. Carrie Mullis, who conveniently died 6 months before COVID started, was always talking about Anthony Fauci and how he didn't know anything. And he was always challenging him to debates, and Fauci would never do it. Carrie Mullis won the Nobel Prize for developing the PCR test. He said it doesn't test for anything. What its biggest value is, if you have a crime victim who has touched DNA on their clothing from the perpetrator, but it's too small to test for DNA, the PCR test can multiply the amount of DNA that is there, so then it can be tested by another test for DNA. PCR does not test for anything. So all of these things about, oh, you have COVID-19, they're all fake. They're all fake. And people are distracted by saying, well, what about this test? What about that test? And as I have said repeatedly, and it's on my website at goodnewsaboutgod.com, that no disease in the history of medicine has ever been tested by swabs putting back at the back of the nasal sinus. None. So that immediately that raised red flags for me. I said, why are they doing that? And I looked up in the medical literature. Every doctor knows that there is what's called a blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier is something God put in us to protect our brain. So sometimes if we get poisoned by something, the blood-brain barrier will keep that poison from going into the brain. And there are many antibiotics that will not pass the blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier is not a physical barrier. It is a chemical barrier that everybody has in them that God created in us for our protection. So even when I was practicing medicine, there were a number of antibiotics that would not cross the blood-brain barrier. You couldn't get them into the brain. So you would have to inject that antibiotic into the cerebrospinal fluid by a spinal tap and inject it that way. So 10, 15 years ago, researchers were saying, well, isn't there a better way to get that, say, antibiotic into the brain rather than having to do a spinal tap? Because sometimes spinal taps are painful and they can be risky. You can get an infection from injecting something into the spinal canal. So in the medical literature, it shows clearly that 7 or 8 years ago, they were able to come up with a way of putting the antibiotic on swabs or injecting them into the back of the nasal sinus, where there is a very thin plate of bone, which is the only separation between the nasal sinus and the brain. And it's called the cribriform plate. Now, the cribriform plate not only has holes in it for the olfactory nerve that comes from the nose to the brain, but the bone is porous and things can get through it. So on my website, I've got pictures of these swabs showing that they actually have metal dust on them that they are implanting back there. They could also vaccinate you that way and put it all the way back into your nasal sinus so it can get to the brain. That is why they're doing it that way. Now, you see, they tell you, oh, the people that were going to the Super Bowl could not shout or scream or sing or anything. Well, then that tells you that they say the virus is in the saliva. Well, if the virus is in the saliva, all they need to do is take a swab on the inside of your cheek. They don't have to put it back in the back of your nasal sinus and twist it like they're doing. And certainly an anal swab is absolutely ridiculous. That is nothing but humiliation of the Gentile population. That it is absolutely absurd. Okay, this has no value in medicine whatsoever. So there is if there were a disease, they could test it by a swab on the inside of the cheek. So everything is a lie. Then you get to the vaccinations. Okay, this whole thing was to scare everybody into getting the vaccinations and to lock everybody down to bring communism into America and Europe and every place else in the world. Absolute, total communism. And by having social distancing, nobody can get together to resist what they're doing. By wearing masks, what they're really telling us is that we are slaves and our free speech is gone. And masks will not stop a virus. Viruses are so tiny that they actually can go through the openings in the normal condom, the latex condom. And I talked about this at the height of the AIDS epidemic. They were telling people for sexually transmitted diseases, which are caused by bacteria, which are 1,000 times larger than a virus, maybe 10,000 times larger than a virus, they say condoms are not completely safe because there are minuscule holes in the latex just by the very nature of making it. So they said they're not completely safe to prevent transmission of STDs. Well, a virus is thousands of times smaller than a bacteria. And with HIV, they just said, oh, just use a condom. Well, viruses, I've got in my book, Condoms Don't Work, that shows the virus is the dimensions of a virus are like a pencil pinpoint dot in the middle of a 4-inch circle. That's how small a virus is compared to the holes that are naturally in latex from which they make condoms. So again, this virus goes right through a mask, even if it were there. And viruses, germs don't cause disease. Here's the next lie. Germs don't cause disease any more than flies cause garbage. Flies don't cause garbage. Garbage attracts flies. God created a cleanup crew on the earth. He created pigs and rats and flies and vermin to clean up the mess. If we didn't have those animals, then the earth would be uninhabitable. We would not be able to live with all the dead and dying animals and waste products and everything on the earth. If there is a garbage strike in your city and you've got a pile of garbage in your front yard, the vermin will come and eat it up. They are there to cleanse the earth. That's why God said we shouldn't eat animals that are scavengers, because they eat filth. All right? That's the reason. And Christians say, oh, if I pray over it, then I guess, you know, if you pray over it, a pig becomes a cow. No, that doesn't happen. So God has created the same thing in our bodies to clean up our bodies. You will notice that in nature, it's the dead and dying tissue, a dead animal in the road, that attracts the vulture. The vulture does not attract the dead animal. The vulture does not cause the dead animal. The dead animal attracts the cleanup crew, the vulture. It's the same in our body. God has given us bacteria and fungi because they clean up the mess that we cause by giving ourselves disease by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. We give ourselves disease, and the bacteria and all the other things, the germs come in to clean up the mess. They don't cause the disease. They're in there to clean up the mess. In fact, an entire 1/3 of our immune system are the bacteria in our colon. And we are covered with bacteria and viruses all the time. They're on our skin, they're in our nose, they're in our mouth. And one reason children develop immunity as they grow up is that they are exposed to these things. And they might get a childhood disease for a few days, and then they're okay. We don't need vaccinations. Vaccinations have never worked anyway. They have never worked. They didn't stop polio. They didn't stop whooping cough. It was the changes after the Industrial Revolution where they demanded children not be allowed to work in the mines 12 hours a day at the age of 4. They demanded that there had to be decent housing, and that whole families were not living under staircases, and that people weren't throwing their waste into the street. When they developed laws of sanitation, and housing and child labor laws, that's when the incidence of childhood diseases and polio and all that fell like a rock. They were decreased by 95%, all of them, before the introduction of vaccinations. And after the introduction of vaccinations, I'll tell you what they did. When a child developed polio after they received the polio vaccination, or an adult, they didn't call it polio because they didn't want you to know that they were injecting you with harmful substances. So what they did was they called it paralytic myelitis. They called it paralytic myelitis. So you wouldn't know you had polio, but those words mean the same thing as polio. So everything is a lie. God designed the body to heal itself. God does not need the help of evil Bill Gates to vaccinate the entire population of the world. This is population extermination. They say in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and in my newest book, which is called The Deliberate Destruction of America and the World, Who's Doing It and Why? The first chapter, I have 14 roadmaps. Most of them, 12 at least of the 14, are written by the people who are doing this, telling us they're going to do this to us. We've got the Georgia Guidestones, which are in Elberton, Georgia, in America. We've got the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. We've got the January 10, 1963 Congressional Record. We've got a CIA training manual called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. We've got the book Foundations. We've got, you just look on the back of an American dollar bill. Right there, it tells you what they're going to do. It's got a pyramid, an uncapped pyramid with the all-seeing eye of Satan. And it says, Anuit Sepsis Novo Ordo Seclorum, which is announcing the conception or the birth of the new order of the world. And Americans have been carrying around that carrying those dollar bills around in their pocket ever since they've been carrying a wallet. And they don't even know that this is, again, the Illuminati pushing it right in our faces, saying, you are so stupid. We tell you over and over and over again, we're going to do this to you. And not only that, oh, let me tell you, in the 2012 Olympics, and I've got this in my book, I've got pictures of it in my book, they told all of us, everybody in the world, and especially in England, they told us they were going to do this to us. Because what did they show in the opening ceremony? Nurses dancing and a whole lot of hospital beds. And they had a great big picture and a form of the quote-unquote coronavirus, and then they had a 50-foot-tall figure of death. That's in the 2012 Olympics that were held in the UK. That's what it was. And who accompanied Queen Elizabeth, to that? It was the actor whose last name, I think, is Craig, who played James Bond. Okay, why did they have that happen? Well, James Bond is 007. Where did that originate? The model for that character in James Bond was a man named John Dee, who was a Jew who always signed his name 007. He was the mystical, satanic advisor to Queen Elizabeth I. And he was the one that came up with the whole idea of the British Empire and said that the Jews, which were at that time not allowed into England, but he was, and he said that the Jews and the British monarchy together could rule the world. So this was, again, another force into your face to tell you how stupid you are, and all of us are in every nation in the world, because we don't understand. They're telling us every single day what they're doing to us. So this is all a plan to bring in communism to the world, number one, and secondly, to kill everybody, because there are very strict definitions for vaccinations. This kill shot that they're calling a vaccination does not come under that definition at all. The kill shots they're meant to kill you. And they're going to keep giving them to everybody over and over again until they're successful. A lot of people have already died in America, I imagine, other countries around the world. But of course, they're in charge of the statistics. So they'll say, oh, well, it was the COVID variant that they died from. It had nothing to do with the vaccine, even though they may have dropped dead 10 minutes after they got it. Oh, it had nothing to do with the vaccine. So this is a plan to kill you. Now, not everybody's going to die immediately, because that would be too obvious. So they're just going to keep you giving you one vaccination after another. You will notice that even after you're quote unquote vaccinated, you still have to distance 6 feet and you have to wear a mask. Now they say wear 2 masks, wear 3 masks, wear 10 masks. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. one mask on a surgeon protects the open wound of a patient just 18 to 24 inches away from the surgeon's mouth and nose. One mask protects a massive open wound of a patient. So there is no reason at all for two people wearing masks that are healthy, two healthy people standing 6 feet apart. There is no reason for that ever. And there is no reason to quarantine well people. That is tyranny. No, never in the history of medicine have well people been quarantined. It's only sick people. And so all of this is a hoax, the goal of which is to, number one, bring communism to the entire world, and number two, to kill 6 billion Gentiles. That's it.
That's amazing information. And folks, I want to give Dr. Day a little bit of a break now, a bit of a breather, while I read through details of her new book, which will be in the post for this show. So please have a look at this, and I'm going to read you what it says from her website. It's here, the deliberate destruction of America and the world. Who's doing it and why? 30 years of research in one book, over 800 full-size pages. Everything you need to know, and here's some of what it includes. The One World Government has been planned for hundreds of years. Proof. The planned destruction of the US military. Who's doing it and why? Who killed the Kennedys and Diana? When will they take away your guns? What three cities run the world? Underground bases in America. Why? Did we really go to the moon? Did Osama bin Laden work for the CIA? Transhumanism, what does that mean? Americans are embracing their killers. Is it possible to fake an alien invasion? The satanic degradation of America's elite, how is it happening and why? What is the goal of vaccinating the whole world? COVID-19 and the Great Reset? Who started black slavery in America? Can man control the weather? The coming religion, worship of Satan? How the US, now the US government could legally kill Christians, for what reason? When will all this be over and how? Now, the first printing has already sold out, and the second printing is going to be available from April the 15th. But basically, if you want to get some pre-orders in, click the to order button, you know, you'll go on that list there. But what I'm going to try to do is, after this show, see if I can arrange with Dr. Day to get her back on for a series where we will just go through this book for as long as she would like. But that being said, I'd now like to go back to Dr. Day. I mean, you've really outlined perfectly the whole purpose behind, you know, faking this virus and getting people locked down, basically making people uncomfortable, making them wear masks so that you can come along and say, oh, if you take this shot, then you don't have to do all of that. And people don't like doing it. They know people wouldn't like doing it. So that was the whole thing, problem, reaction, solution. They wanted to get the this whatever it is into your body. And so they had to make you uncomfortable in order that you would take it. But what is the... I mean, I can tell you, Dr. Day, this is something that's really quite shocking. And you're probably aware of this. But in the UK, we have like the BBC, the Daily Mail, what have you. And they're constantly telling us that... the vaccines, there's absolutely no evidence that they're dangerous. Every week on my Monday show, I have articles from both of those publications where I repeat that they tell you that they're not dangerous at all. There's no evidence. Yet there's a website from the UK government. It's the UK government's official website that I also check every Monday. And so far on that website, as of Monday just gone, that we've had 534 deaths and 96,910 people injured. Yet the British press tells us that they're completely safe. It is absolutely shocking that they're allowed to get away with that. They just simply don't report the figures. And so they're essentially getting people to take it. And we know who controls the media. How do you see these vaccines? Obviously, some people are dying straight away. There are doctors out there that say, oh, some people, they're going to go between 4 months and 18 months, they're going to die. It's difficult to know where they're getting this information. How long do you think it's going to take for people who've been vaccinated to really start getting sick or even worse, dying?
Well, first of all, we're not going to be told when they are getting sick and dying. The average person will not understand what is really happening until much later, probably several years later, when people start dying in their family and dying on the street. So it's probable that the different vaccines that are produced by different and again, when I use this term vaccine loosely, because it's not a vaccine, it's a shot meant to kill you. It has one thing it has in it is potassium chloride. Potassium chloride is used to execute prisoners when they have received the death sentence because it stops your heart. Another thing, there is some rumor, I haven't been able to confirm, that they're putting prions in the vaccine, which prions cause mad cow disease in human beings. But that would cause dementia within a couple of years and then you die. So there are many, many poisons in these vaccines, but there are probably, first of all, the other thing is the vaccines were made long before COVID started. They're talking about, oh, well, we got this company's going to make this and this company's going to make that. And one company made it in 2 days. Now, they had this all planned. They had the vaccines all made, the kill shots all made before they started this. They've been planning this for so long. It's just ridiculous to think, oh, now we need to have a vaccine. But naturally, they don't want to tell the people that they made the vaccines before COVID appeared, because then people might catch on. A few people might catch on. But you will notice they will also demonize people that you don't care about society if you don't take the vaccine. And we need herd immunity. Herd immunity is a lie, too. Herd immunity is a lie. They only developed that when they wanted to get everybody vaccinated. If vaccines worked, then if you had one, nobody is a risk to you, even if they haven't been vaccinated. There's no need for herd immunity. So it's again, this is just another level of lies. They made up this whole idea. And even some will say, oh, well, you need to have 80% vaccinated in a community in order to have herd immunity. Others will say, oh, it's 90%. They don't even know. They're liars. When I was active in the AIDS epidemic, and this is in the 80s and early 90s, when I was at San Francisco General, I arguably operated on more AIDS patients than any surgeon in the country. Well, the whole point, that's what the New England Journal of Medicine said, and they estimated my risk of getting AIDS at 51%. Well, why didn't I get AIDS? I got stuck all the time. I had AIDS blood all over me all the time, even as careful as I was. As a trauma surgeon, you know, you can say, oh, be careful. Well, the people have sharp bones sticking out of their body. You're operating in a pool of blood. Latex gloves have microscopic holes in them as well. We're always tearing them on the power equipment we use, because we use power saws and power drills and everything else. So we were very at risk. And yet I didn't get it. Because HIV is undoubtedly not the cause of AIDS. I took care of these homosexuals and drug addicts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. I know what gave them AIDS. First of all, they were using all these poppers, which is amyl nitrite, which they're drugs that heighten the sexual experience, and they were using them like candy, and that destroys the liver and it destroys your immune system. And then they were in the bathhouses, they were exchanging feces and saliva and blood and everything else. This was a totally degenerate lifestyle. And this is the way they destroyed their immune system and gave themselves AIDS. Because, you know, you have to even wonder, do viruses even exist? Because they're so tiny, they don't live outside the body, they don't replicate unless they're attached to your DNA. So how can you prove, and they don't respond to the gold standard of disease, which is using Koch's postulates, that bacteria respond to, but viruses don't. And viruses are so tiny and they don't live outside the body. So how do you know they're not just a piece of DNA that they have extracted from your own genome? So it is, but you see, it is very advantageous to them to scare everybody with viruses. And that is the entire basis of all vaccinations. But vaccinations don't prevent the diseases they are meant to prevent. They don't work. So when I need a little bit more water.
That's okay.
When they talk about viruses, and I realize that every department, every medical school has a department of virology, but that doesn't mean they actually exist, because everything else is a lie too. We didn't go to the moon. You can't get through the Van Allen radiation belt. It would fry a human being and an animal, and it would destroy all the mechanism of a spacecraft. The temperatures are way too high. We didn't go to the moon. The second thing is they talk about, oh, we might have an atomic war with Iran. Well, it turns out that they can make nuclear energy slowly, but they can't make it rapidly. They can't make it rapidly. Just think about this. Chernobyl is uninhabitable because the half-life of these radionucleotides that melted down there are so long that they can't rebuild. Nobody can live there. And yet, after World War II, at the end of World War II, the Allies bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki supposedly with atomic bombs, and that yet they rebuilt those cities in 2 years, and everybody's living there, and people aren't dying of radiation poisoning. So they could not have bombed those cities with nuclear bombs. They couldn't have done it because they rebuilt those cities in 2 years. So you see, you look at Fukushima. Fukushima is not inhabitable because it has all of these radiation chemicals that have a half-life of 1,600 or 16,000 years. They can't rebuild those. They can't rebuild Chernobyl. But they rebuilt Nagasaki and Hiroshima in 2 years. So you can have this kind of mushroom cloud I show in the book, even with a firebombing. They bombed them, but they were not nuclear weapons. This is another scare tactic. I always wondered about that when they were talking about this after World War II, because I was alive during World War II. I remember World War II. And so they were talking about how people were building underground homes. I thought, well, if they're building underground homes, and these nuclear chemicals have a half-life of 6 to 10,000 or more years, how can anybody ever come out? You see, they die underground. But they knew, the elitists knew, they were not nuclear weapons. And so they would go under for the firebombing and then come out when it was over, and they would still be safe. So all of these things, the lies are so rampant. In fact, a former U.S. director of the CIA said, we will know our disinformation program is complete when everything every American believes is a lie. And that's what they're doing.
Yes, I believe that was William Colby, Dr. Right. Lorraine Day. And it's interesting. Something you said earlier in the broadcast, and this really hit with me, is that they're getting all this done. I firmly believe that these vaccines are some sort of mark of the beast that are referred to. You actually mentioned this on our last show about a year ago, because I remember you said that you have to resist having the vaccine. If they hold you down and force it into you, then God can then neutralize it because it's been put in you against your will. But I feel that these people, they whether they are or they're not, they certainly believe that they're in touch with their father, Satan. And they believe that they have, as it says in the Bible, Satan has a very short time. And I think that they believe Jesus Christ is coming back soon. So as you said, they want to make it to a situation where Jesus Christ has no one to come back for, so then maybe he won't come back. And that could explain why they want to kill all these people. We can prove now that this isn't about money. This isn't about power in that sense, because these people already run the world. They've run it for hundreds of years, so they control all the money. But it's about getting rid of people that they do not like, and they are primarily white people or Christians in general. The only question I'd have on that is that obviously they're going to want to keep some people alive because they want people to be their slaves. They don't want to be doing dirty work. They want people to wait on them hand and foot. So what are your views on the people that they are targeting specifically, and the people that they want and the people that they would like to leave on this planet to serve them when they've got rid of the people that they don't like, Dr. Day?
Well, yes, they will, but they're trying in underground bases in America, they're trying to meld animals with humans. Like they want to have a horse that has a human head that can think better than a horse, but has a horse body. And this is what they're trying to do. And of course, Satan hates the idea. One reason Satan hates the human race, and you are right, by the way, the Rothschilds and many even lower than the Rothschilds are communicating directly with Satan. He is their God, and he thinks he's going to rule the earth. And why did they pick, first of all, they're talking about, remember, Agenda 21, this tells their plan, and then they've got Agenda 2030. Why did they pick 2030? Well, it's the 2000th anniversary, either of Jesus, the beginning of his ministry, if he was born in 0 AD, or it was his crucifixion, if he indeed was born in 4 BC, and it's not known whether he was born in 4 BC or 0 AD. So they have picked the 2000th year anniversary of a very important event in the life of Christ. They want to have 6 billion people killed on this earth by 2025, but if they don't make it by 2025, they certainly want it done by 2030. Now, the Bible talks all about this, and on my website at goodnewsaboutgod.com, in the spiritual truth section, there's a link there. It says spiritual truth a little ways down on the home page. You can go there. I've got the whole Revelation series there, every book in every chapter in the book of Revelation, showing you that all of this is predicted. God is telling us that this is going to happen. I knew this was going to happen 30 years ago when I was given some inside documents by people in the lower levels of the Illuminati, people who were at the secretarial level and all. They realized that what is happening is really horrible. And I had a forum to speak out at that time. And so they gave me these documents. I recognized at that time that this was the beginning of the end. Now, there's going to be a time of trouble the Bible talks about that is a specific period of time. It will be 3.5 years. The Bible talks about it in prophetic time of 1260 days or 42 months. That's 3.5 years when the true saints will be terribly persecuted. And I believe that will happen when they ban the Bible. Now, the mark of the beast, most Christians have already taken the mark of the beast and they don't even know it, because the word mark in Revelation is the word charagma in Greek, and it means character. When you develop the character of the beast, in other words, when you go along with them, when you agree with what they're doing, you have taken the mark of the beast in your forehead, which means your frontal lobes where you make your decisions. If you disagree with the one world government, but you are willing to go along with it to keep your job or to have food, that is when you have taken it in the hand. The mark of the beast is not a chip, nor is it a physical sign, because it's a sign of character, and people will not recognize that they have already taken it. Now, the mark of the beast is reversible because, again, it's your character. If you start believing in God instead of believing in man, well, then you no longer have the mark of the beast. But it is not going to be a physical mark. They are going to try to chip us. They are going to have a vaccine certificate and a travel certificate. And in fact, there may be a mark that is available with a special kind of lamp when they give you the kill shot. Who knows? But that is not the mark of the beast. The person who has that has already taken the mark of the beast long before they get the kill shot, because it is believing in man and not God, because the Bible says the number of the beast is 666, and it is the number of not a man. The word is anthropos. It is the number of humanity, like anthropology. It's the belief that humans have the answer rather than God having the answer. And that's what they want, to eliminate God from the universe and have man make the decisions. And that's why they want to hook us up to computers. Oh, then we'll be smarter and smarter. Well, the only one who can program the computer is a human being. So the computer that they hook you up to can't be smarter than a human being. So, I mean, it's all ridiculous. And of course, the farther away they get from God and the closer they get to Satan, really all this is happening because the world has left God. So God is saying, okay, if you don't want me to run your world, I'll let you see how it is for Satan to run your world. And people will start getting the idea of what's really going on when they force their way into your house, take your children, and send them to a foreign country to have them sex trafficked. That's when it might finally hit some people's minds.
Yes, and we've got a few minutes left, Dr. Day. Any significance in your mind to people who say, for example, the Pfizer vaccination could alter your DNA? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, well, they are all can alter your DNA. That is the point. They're going to alter your DNA. This is all an experiment for them, too. They want to see if they can make crazy people. They have a vaccine where they can eliminate all your spiritual propensities, that you will be amoral. They will eliminate all your ability to have any religious principles whatsoever. So this is the plan, to alter your DNA. And it may be that various different kill shots will alter your DNA in a very different way, so they can track and see how they can make this group do certain things and this group appear a different way. And so I'm sure they're going to have a lot of fun with this. This is what their idea of fun is. They kill people. But yes, they will probably save some Gentiles around, but they will have made them into total zombies because they say, In their Talmud, it says the best of all the Gentiles should all be killed, and that they're the only reason Gentiles are on the earth is to serve the Jews.
Yes, I saw some video recently, and I think that they're supposed to have 2,800 each serving them, according to some guy who was being interviewed in Israel. So it's all very interesting what's going on. The other thing I have a question about is, I find it interesting how I've seen quite a few articles coming out of the press saying that there's already been conspiracy theories about, you know, the Jews are behind the vaccines, and like the Jews were behind the Black Death and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, well, I look at the alternative media all the time because that's the field I'm in, and I haven't seen any. So I found it very strange that they were raising it in their own publications. But the other thing I find very strange is in the UK, certainly, Dr. Day, they've been saying that the roadmap that they want to go off is Israel's roadmap. And what Israel are saying is they're saying that they've got most of their people vaccinated, and they're also giving them passports, and unless they can prove they've been vaccinated, they can't go into shops, clubs or restaurants. And so if that's the plan for all of us, then it's going to force, as you say, everyone into taking the vaccine. However, do you think that there's any possibility that the people in Israel could be given something different that's being given to the rest of us?
Oh, of course. They're not giving the same things to the people in Israel as they're giving to us, because they need those people over there as dupes. You see, the Illuminati Jews don't care much more about the rank and file Jews as they do about Gentiles. They're expendable. They just need them over there to occupy the land and to kill to kill Gentiles, the Palestinians. They don't care about them. The Rothschilds and the Soros and the Rockefellers and even Bill Gates, they don't give a rip about the rank and file Jews. They're expendable, totally expendable. And I show this, I have a whole chapter on this in my book. They don't care about them. They just need them to promote the Holocaust, to occupy the land. Because again, you see, Satan wants that land. That's why when Hitler wanted the Jews out of Germany, he said, go to Madagascar or any place you want, just get out of our country, because they had done to Germany what they have done to America and probably Europe, and that is bring in pedophilia, degeneracy, homosexuality, perversion, filth, all sorts of things. And they were doing, he just wanted them out of the country. But they demanded to have Palestine. And that's what World War One was about, to get Palestine into the hands of the British, away from the Ottomans. And then World War Two had two goals: to crush Christian Germany, which was the last real Christian nation that had not already been taken over secretly by the communists, and to get Palestine from the hands of the British into the hands of the Jews that would occupy that area. Because Palestine is where God created the Garden of Eden. Palestine is where God created the original Israel of the Old Testament, which have nothing to do with the Jews of today. They are Khazars. They're actually Mongol, barbarian Turks, I'm sure, as your audience knows. The Ashkenazi Jews, which are the most of the Jews, and even the Sephardic Jews, are really Gentiles that have accepted the culture and the paganism of Judaism. And so Satan wants that area because that's the center of the world. You say, well, what about America? Oh, they don't care about America. They will decimate America, kill everybody here, and the elitist Jews will just use it for their travel vacations on either coast. But the center of the world is Palestine, because Europe is to the west of Palestine. And of course, they want to enlarge the borders. We're not talking about just what Israel is now. They want to enlarge the borders from the Euphrates River to the Nile, and they'll take part of Saudi Arabia, which is already run by crypto Jews. And so they will have Europe to the west, they will have Asia to the east, and they will have Africa to the south. And that is the majority of the world, and it was the then known world when Israel actually was there. God wanted original Israel to be the center of the world. So everybody who was coming through from Africa to Asia or Africa to Europe or the other way around would come through Israel and learn about the coming Messiah or the Messiah after he had already come. And that's why he wanted that. That's why Satan wants that. That's why the Jews had to write themselves into the Bible and change the word from Judean, which meant the worship of the true God in the temple in Jerusalem in Judea. They were called Judeans before Christ was born. And they had to change that to Jews so then they could claim to be the Jews and the offspring of the original Israelites, who were actually the Israelites, were Christians. They were not Jews. The word Hebrew means to cross over. It doesn't mean Jew. Abraham crossed over the Euphrates River. God talks about that in Joshua 24:2-3. I called him to cross over the flood, the Euphrates River, and I called him to cross over from paganism to worshiping the true God. So Abraham was a Hebrew because he was a Christian, not because he was a Jew. Hebrew is a designation of who you worship, the one true God, rather than many pagan gods. So you look it up in your dictionary, the word Hebrew means to cross over or to pass over. Even Wikipedia says that. So the thing is, they had to write themselves into the Bible to say, oh, well, we have the right to the Palestine, and they have the right to call this the nation of Israel, because they want to rule from the center of the world. And Satan wants to be God, so he wants to occupy the territory God used for the Garden of Eden.
Thank you so much, Dr. Day.